word today as we preach for the next little while. We're excited about the deposit you are about to make into us. I pray that our minds are clear, that our hearts are ready, Lord, just to receive what you are saying to us. Speak specifically today, Lord. Speak on purpose today, Lord, and let our lives be helped and equipped and builded as your word promises. Thank you for it today, Lord. We pray it in your awesome name, the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. So we have been in a series this month. I have enjoyed thoroughly 3, 6, 5. And really, the big idea around 3, 6, 5, the heart behind that is realizing that we can live our lives not by the year, but literally by the day. We talked about in week one of this series that sometimes we're just, here it is, 2019, and we're so overwhelmed by that. We're so blown away that we're here at another year. And I heard more than one of you say, and I certainly said myself, that it feels like we were just doing this a few weeks ago. We were at the beginning of 2018, and then we blinked our eyes and ate a couple of meals, and then here we are at 2019. And so we're trying to slow down just a little bit and not focus so much on the year, but realize that we can live by the day and that we can make every single day of 2019 count. We can make every day be a day that is filled with purpose, a day that is filled with the presence of God, a day that is given to the Lord. I love Sunday, but what I've tried to convey in this series is that I do not have to wait until Sunday. And I love Sundays. I promise you, I live for Sundays. But we can live this every single day. Remember, he said, give us this day our daily bread. Not our Sunday bread, not our once a week bread, but give us our daily bread, because he has something baked up, ready, and fresh for us every single day. And if I will make right choices every day, and if I will live solid disciplines every day, and if I will maintain good habits every day, then I promise you that each day is going to be an incredible day. You say, Pastor Darrell, I mean, do we have any regular days? Sure, we have lots of regular days. It's lots of days out of 365 that are just normal days, and there's nothing wrong with that. You ought to have your pajama day every now and then. You're going to have a bad hair day where things just don't ever seem to line up or come together. But I refuse to see that as a wasted day, or just, you know, something happens to me at 10 a.m. I get a phone call, or, you know, the mail comes early, and there's that bill I was not expecting. And, well, there goes this day. No, how can I redeem this day? I see the enemy's trying to get this off track. How can I redeem this? How can I get the value out of this? How can I see the Lord do something great with each day that I live? So I want to go to Luke chapter 18 today, and you can join me there if you have your Bible, or if you have your Bible on your tablet or your phone. It's on the screen as well if you want to follow along there. But I just want to look at this story for a few moments today, and I want to talk to you about daily desperation. Daily desperation. I saw desperation here last Sunday. See it here a lot of Sundays, where it's like we just kind of come in. You know, we say it often around here, that Sunday is not the end of a long, bad, difficult week. Sunday is the first day of a brand new week. So I'm not just coming in, you know, and the idea that I'm coming in on Sunday just, you know, whatever little bit of leftovers I have. And no, Sunday begins a brand new week, and so I'm coming in fresh, and But a lot of Sundays, we see that desperation. There's nothing wrong with that. But I want you to see in this story today that you can have that reach toward God every single day, and it absolutely will pay off in your life. Luke 18, beginning at verse number 1, one day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. I want you to pray and never give up. This was often the message of Jesus. Pray and never give up. He's being upfront with them. He's being honest with them. Look, there are going to be opportunities. There are going to be circumstances. There are going to be challenges. There's going to be difficulties and reasons and diagnosis. And there's going to be all kinds of things that happen in your life. And you're going to think, this is a good day to give up. This is a good day to throw in the towel. This is a good day. If ever I was looking for a reason, if ever I needed an excuse, if ever there was a right time with just a perfect storm of circumstance and situation, this is it. But Jesus said, I want to tell you something that you should always pray and never give up. And then in verse 2, he says there was a certain judge in a city. So I'm going to tell you a story to kind of just establish and make sure that you understand the importance of never giving up. There's a judge in a certain city who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, "Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy." We do not know what the dispute was. We do not know what the challenge was. We do not know what it was that she was asking relief from. We know nothing about that. I think that is on purpose in the story that Jesus is telling, because her story may not be anything like your story, and yet your story is just as important as hers is. Your situation may not look like her situation, but it is a situation nonetheless. All of us have different things that we are facing. What may knock the wind out of me may not even faze you. The thing that may bring you to your knees, it may not even register on my radar. Everyone has their breaking point. Everyone has their pressure point. Everyone has the trigger or the stressor that gets the best of them. We're not trying to identify that or make that all the same or say that everyone should fight the same thing. No, everyone has their thing. We recognize that. We realize that. We've come to terms with that. What we want to do is try to equip you to the point that when that trigger comes, when that stressor comes, when the enemy comes, when the adversary comes, that you are equipped to be able to handle that and deal with that, and it not force you to give up on the thing that matters most to you. Lord, I just preached the whole message right there. Did you get it? All right, I'll keep going for the others that missed what I said. Who is this judge? I got to be honest with you. I spent a lot of time this week just wrestling with this one verse, because I wanted this to make sense for my own heart, and certainly for the hearts that I'm speaking into today. Who is this judge? Jesus is telling this story. He describes the judge as having no regard for God, and he doesn't care about people. And I think probably that I was trying to make too much out of the judge, or type him to someone or something. And really, I don't need to try to make too much out of the judge, because the way that I see the judge is that he just represents life. Just life. It's life that happens to each of us. It's life that unfolds before each of us. Again, there are good days, there are difficult days, there's days to really celebrate, there are red letter days, there are monumental days, days that are just engraved in our minds and we'll never forget them, and then there are disastrous days. There are days when things happen and it's like, I don't know that I want to wake up tomorrow morning. I don't know that I want to try to do this again on my, I'm tired of this. I see that as the judge. It's just life. It's just what happens to us. John 16 and 33, Jesus says, here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows. But he said, take heart because I have overcome the world. He said, I'm telling you the truth right up front. I'm not making this small print. You know, sometimes you hear the commercials about the miracle drug on TV, and then all of a sudden they get to the last, you know, 2 seconds of the commercial, and they start talking real fast in a real hushed tone and tell you that this drug that is so amazing is probably going to kill you in about 3 hours. It's not that kind of a deal. He didn't say, "Look, let me talk real fast." I don't know if you've been getting these spam calls to your cell phone. Anyone getting those? It's enough to make you cuss. I promise you, it'll just ruin your day. Well, this last week I've just been answering every one of them. Usually I just send them to voicemail, but I've been answering every one of them, and I'm not even nice about it. I mean, it could be. It could be some really great people calling me, but I'm just like, what? And then it's the recorded line. We found your resume on whatever. No, I don't have my resume out anywhere. We know, some vehicle I owned 10 years ago. They want to give me a warranty on a vehicle that's long, long gone. You know how it is. It's always. So I get one of those this week, and I did it. I answered, what? And the lady started talking, the recording voice started talking, and she was talking really fast. And I mean, they were going to make me a millionaire by the time the call was over. And I mean, it was incredible. I was going to be able to walk on water. And while she's promising the world to me, she just dropped it in real quick. Press 1 if you want to be put on the do not call list. And then, not just $1 million, but $2 million, Man, I pressed 1 so fast, put me on the do not call list. But it's not that kind of deal. Jesus wasn't trying to just slip it in real quick where you wouldn't hear him. Listen, come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden. By the way, this life is going to be full of hardships and troubles. Come to me. It's going to be the best life you've ever lived. But listen, don't worry. No, he said, I'm going to tell you right up front. Life is not easy. There are difficult days. But I want you to take heart because even though there is adversity and even though there is challenge and even though there is sorrow, I have overcome the world. And if I've overcome the world, he's saying, you have the power to overcome the world as well. If I am victorious, then you can be victorious also. That's the part we don't believe. That's the part that we struggle with. And that's when we find ourselves wanting to give up. Because we all feel it. The Bible also says that it rains on the just and the unjust. It's not a good or bad thing. It's not a right or wrong thing. It's not a sin or holiness thing. It just rains. It just rains. It rains at your house and it rains at my house. We all face life. We all deal with this. But here's what the Bible says about this woman. The Bible said that she came to him repeatedly in verse number 3. She came over and over and over again saying one thing, give me justice. I want you to make it fair. Why is this happening in my life. I didn't ask for this. I didn't want this. I need you to change it. I need you to break it. I need you to fix this. She came over and over and over again saying the same thing. I want justice. You see, you're meeting today a persistent woman who doesn't take no for an answer. You're meeting a persistent person who is full of faith, who says, I just refuse to believe that this is my lot in life. I refuse to believe, regardless of how big this situation is, regardless of how overwhelming this circumstance is, I refuse to believe that this is the best that God intended for me. And so I'm going to keep coming over and over and over again saying, give me justice. And verse 4 said the judge ignored her for a while. Just ignored her. I don't know about you, but that verse gives me so much hope. She wanted better, but life just kept ignoring her. Her request, her desire, her heart, her will for something better. It was just ignored for a while. What about those who feel ignored today, or those who settle into thinking, you know what, I tried that a few days. I tried that faith thing. I tried fasting a meal during those days of dedication. I came to one of those prayer meetings, but it just did not work for me. I didn't feel any goosebumps. There was no radical or significant change in my circumstance. I just kind of feel like I pray, and it's probably good for me to do as a discipline, but I don't feel like the Lord hears me when I pray. And I'm stuck because I pushed back once and I lost energy, or I lost the motivation to fight. But not this woman. Not this woman. And by faith today, I say not you or me either. Not this year. I'm approaching this year differently. I'm approaching 2019 with a different mindset and a different attitude. And there's a different motivation inside of me because I am not going to give up. So the Bible said that the judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. Any men know what that feels like? Love you, ladies. This woman is, she will not quit. She will not stop. She will not let go. Life just kept throwing one punch after another, and there just continued to be one difficult challenge after another. And I tried to just ignore it. I tried just to turn a deaf ear. But this woman, she will not stop, and she is driving me crazy. Listen, go ahead and put that on my headstone if you don't mind. He drove life crazy. He refused to give up. He drove the devil crazy. Refused to accept no as the answer. Listen, the enemy does not know what to do with someone who will not quit. He does not know what to do with someone who will not quit. Give up. I am preaching to people in this room today that you have had pain in your body for days, for weeks, for months, and maybe even for years, I feel like the Lord is saying, and the enemy is saying, what are you doing at church? How in the world are you here? I just knew that that chronic pain, I just knew that those same old physical issues in your body were going to knock you out a long time ago. He does not know what to do with someone who will not quit, who will not give up. I want to preach to a whole bunch of folk in this room today that make up in your mind, it does not matter what life throws my way. It does not matter what challenge I face. It does not matter what comes. I refuse to give up, and I'm going to keep driving that judge crazy. I'm going to keep driving the devil crazy. I'm going to keep running after life until it calls me crazy because I refuse to give up. I want this church to drive the devil crazy. Someone called the other day. I don't even know who it was. If they're here today, God bless you. You were just doing it in honesty. But someone called and said that they heard the church closed down. Church closed down, that it was over. It was done. I'm talking about just last week, somebody, they heard the church closed down. Listen. We're here. We're not going anywhere. Look around. There's hundreds of people here on a Sunday morning who are saying, we're not quitting. We're going to keep pushing and keep worshiping and keep giving and keep serving. That's what the devil wants us to do. I thought that was going to go over better. Let me see what I got in this pocket. That's all right. I'll see what I got in this pocket and see if I can wow you here in a moment. So he says, verse 5, I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant request. Here's what I say today. I say let's make sure we're wearing the right one out instead of wearing ourselves out, instead of wearing those we love out. Let's make sure we're wearing the right one out. Because I guarantee you, the biggest enemy you have is not the one you're married to. It's not the one you're related to. It's not the one living in your house with you. It's not the one over you at the job. The biggest enemy you have is the devil himself. Paul said, we wrestle not against, you know, flesh and blood. It's a principalities and power thing. It's a spiritual thing. Stop thinking that your enemy is the person of a different race than you. Stop thinking that your enemy is this or that. No, the enemy is a spiritual thing. And so as soon as I identify who the real enemy is, then I can start loving you and going to lunch with you and living next door to you and working right beside you, because this is not a me and you problem. This is a me and the devil problem, and I'm about to drive him crazy because I refuse to quit. There is an answer. There is a miracle. There is a revival. There is a breakthrough. There is some healing for my life, and I'm closer to it than I even believed possible. I need to stop beating myself up. Well, I made a mistake, and you know, I made my bed, and now I have to lie in it. I may have made a mistake. I may have made the bed. But you know what? They make washing machines. I can clean up the mess. I can. If there was a way into my problem, there has to be a way out of it. Stop thinking there is no way out of your circumstance. There absolutely is a way out of what you face. What I need to do is take it to Jesus and then take control of every day that I have. left. I could sit and stew and pity and depress and lament and feel sorry for day after day after day. There are people in this room that you have been feeling sorry for and feeling guilty because of something that didn't happen hours ago. Maybe it did, but there's people in this room that it's something that happened months ago. It's something that happened years ago, and you're still beating yourself up every single day. I set you free in the name of Jesus. Stop being captive to the mistake you made. Stop being in chains to the mistake that you made. Take the mistake you made to Jesus, because he is the one who's able to heal us, forgive us, and to set us free. Does anybody believe that today? Give the Lord a shout of praise in this room. Woo! I feel the Lord in this house today. She's wearing me out with her constant request. I'm not giving up. I hope everyone can hear me today. I'm not giving up. I didn't move here thinking this church was going to grow overnight, explode overnight, get out of the hole overnight. I didn't think it was all going to happen with just a blink of an eye or one snap of the finger. If the devil thinks he has me discouraged, he's got another thing coming. If the enemy thinks that I'm in this by myself, he's got another thing coming. We are in this together. I'm so glad to be linked up with you. God blessed me to lead the greatest people in the world, and God blessed you pretty good too. I'm telling you, we can do whatever we want to do if we just want to do it. Hallelujah. If you see a guest near you, just tap him. Say, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. He's not always. It'll be all right. Verse 6, then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. I love this. Learn a lesson from this story I'm telling you. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. Even he did the right thing in the end. Can I prophesy to somebody in this room today? The person, the thing, the situation, the circumstance that you thought would never work out, even he rendered the right decision in the end. There are people thinking that justice is never going to come. There are people thinking that satisfaction in your circumstance is never going to come. I'm telling you, the Lord told me this week to tell everybody in this room that even your enemy is going to have to do the right thing in your life. You know why? Because persistence pays. Not quitting pays. Not giving up pays. If you can just hold on, if you can just stay in the fight, if you can just take it one day at a time. I'm desperate every day. I'm waking up on Monday desperate. I'm waking up on Tuesday desperate. I'm living Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday with desperation toward the things of God. Even he has to work in my life. He has to. I don't spend much time talking to the devil. Bible said he's a liar. I've had friends who were habitual liars I had to cut out of my life. People I love them right now. But you know what? We can't do this anymore. Why would I spend time talking to the devil? And I feel like he and I got an understanding anyway. He's kind of scared of me. Oh, Pastor Darrell, I wouldn't talk like that. You sound awful boastful. I bet there's some stuff coming your way. If you think there hadn't been some stuff all the way my way, there has. But guess what, devil? I'm still standing here, all 6'3" and 200, I don't know. Anyway, I'm standing right here. I'm not afraid of you, devil. Why? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Just keep fighting. Hallelujah. Keep fighting. Feel sick in your body? Keep fighting. Got a difficult diagnosis? Keep fighting. Got challenges in your money? Keep fighting. Just keep on coming. You're driving the enemy crazy. So Jesus said, learn something from this unjust judge. Because don't you think that God will surely give justice to his chosen people? Look, who cry out to him day and night. He's talking to 365 people. He's talking to people who refuse to give up. There's not a day of the week that they're willing to quit. But they just keep on pushing. Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? Jesus said, listen, if that worked out for you, if you wrestled life into submission by persistence, surely you know what I'll do for the people who cry out to me day and night. 365. People who refuse to quit. People who refuse to quit. I'm not waiting till next Sunday. I'm glad I've got prayer on Tuesday. I'm glad small groups are starting here in just a couple of weeks. But I'm going to worship every single day. I'm going to reach for God every single day. I'm going to have faith in God every single day. Every day. Don't you get tired? Yes. But there's no days off in the fight for my faith, in the fight for my family, in the fight for my marriage, in the fight for my kids. I got one that's about to be 15 and another one that's going to be 13. Help me, Jesus. And I don't even drink. I just pray. Oh, God. So what is required for persistence? You have a couple more minutes to wrap this up today. What's required for persistence? I'm motivated right now. You know, I don't want to just hype you on any given Sunday. I could hoop my way out of here and we could go out clapping, but I want to equip you with something. And so this is an opportunity to write something down or type something in, something for you to remember, because I'm motivated right now, but I need to know how to do this. I'm excited, but how do I do this? I feel like I've been motivated before, but it didn't last. I feel like I've been right here before. So if I want something different, then I have to be willing to do something different. If I want 2019 to be better than 2018, then I have to be willing to do something different in 2019 than I did in 2018. What am I going to do differently? Because I want you to hear me loud and clear. What you do every day matters more than what you do every once in a while. What you do every day matters more than what you do every once. Well, I just stop by church every now and then. No, if you'll do this daily, if you'll do this daily, I'm telling you, you'll see incredible miracles in your life. So what can I work on daily? Let me give you a couple of things. I have to take control of my schedule. I got to take control of my schedule. I have to. Ecclesiastes 4:6 says, better one handful with tranquility or with peace than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. He said it's better to do smaller amounts with peace than it is to wrestle. You ever try to carry too much laundry in one hand? and then you start dropping socks. It becomes a personal challenge to me to hold all of that laundry and get down there low as I can and pick up that one sock. More times than I can count, I've dropped the entire armload. I would have been better to make two trips. Listen, Mr. Efficient, I don't need... I would have saved... I spent more time trying to clean up the mess I made. I'm teaching good today. I got to take control of my schedule. Jeremiah 6 and 16, this is what the Lord says. It's prophetic. He said, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. You know what he's saying? He's saying, ask for directions. There's people who have traveled this path before. There are people who know something that you do not know. This generation is so hard-headed that we just have to figure it out ourselves. And parents and grandparents and older folk, we've all just kind of accepted, well, they're going to have to learn for themselves. They just going to have to hit rock bottom. Listen, if I can help my kids or your kids keep from hitting rock bottom, I'm going to do my very best. But I'm going to tell you what we need. We've got a lot of experience in this church. That's a real nice way of saying we had a great crowd at the senior lunch last Sunday. We got a lot of experience. We need mentors in this church. I need people that have been married 40 years to go to lunch with people that have been married 20 years. And say, let me tell you what we've learned in 40 years. We need mentors. I'm going to tell you, this church is growing. Our young people are growing. The first Sunday we were here in November of 17, we had 7 kids in our church kids. Last Sunday we had 34 or 36. That's not, oh, Daryl and Kristen do a good. No, that tells me that God is building our church, and he's sending young families and young couples and people with young kids. But guess what? We need people to mentor those kids and help with those kids. And we need workers in nursery and workers in church kids. And we need mentors. I need to be mentored, and I need to mentor. It's funny. It's 11:33, and already today, I've sought counsel from someone older than me, and I've given counsel to someone younger than me. Already by 11:35 today. What if I do that every day? What if I'm looking to and I'm also reaching back? Come play. It'll give them hope. Let me tell you another way to do it daily. I have to rethink what I allow to enter my mind. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:23, he said, I have the right to do anything. You say, but not everything is beneficial. I'm a big enough boy. I can do whatever I want. But I know that some things are only going to bring heartache in my life. I was serious. Somebody come. For real. I'm big enough boy to do it, but I don't need to do that. He said, I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. Just go to Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Not all of it is beneficial for me. Jesus said in another place, it's not what comes out of a man that defiles. He said it's what goes in. The Pharisees were mad about something they heard the disciples saying. You don't have to worry about what's coming out. Let's back that challenge up. Let's deal with what's going in. If you don't like what's coming out of your teenager's mouth, then you gotta deal with what they're hearing, what they're seeing, what they're ingesting. Here's another one. It's time to organize and prioritize my finances. These are things I can do every single day, daily. Rethink what I allow to enter my mind. Organize and prioritize my finances. Here's a good rule. I'm learning this. 46 years old, I've got a long way to go, but I'm learning this. That every day, I can center my, prioritize and organize my money around give, save, live. What does that mean? Give to God what belongs to Him. Save some that's going to make a difference in my life later. And then live. Enjoy. You work hard. In a couple of weeks, I'll take some time and we'll talk about finances a little more in depth. But Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. And if I'm just chasing the dollar every day, I meet so many people. Preach, I'm coming to your church. I just work all the time. Man, it's not going to benefit you. It's not going to work for you long term. Here's the last one. Every single day, I need to live my life intentionally. Intentionally. Proverbs 20 and 4 says, sluggards do not plow in season, so at harvest time they look but find nothing. They don't do the right things at the right time. Psalm 90 and 12, teach us to number our days and recognize how few they are. Help us to spend them as we should. It's daily bread. It's every single day, all 365. Here's the question. I close with this today. What would happen if we lived each day on purpose? Whoever's helping us with baptism, I know we have one in church kids. Make sure they're ready and moving. If anyone else is here and wants to be baptized today, we're going to do that in just a few moments. Just a few moments. Can I read one more scripture? Romans 13, verse 11 in the Message translation. Paul, Romans is a tough book. It'll hit you. He said, make sure that you don't get so absorbed and exhausted in taking care of all your day-by-day obligations that you lose track of the time and doze off, oblivious to God. The night is about over. Dawn is about to break. Be up and awake to what God is doing. God is putting the finishing touches on the salvation work He began when we first believed. We can't afford to waste a minute. Must not squander these precious daylight hours in frivolity and indulgence, in sleeping around and dissipation, in bickering and grabbing everything in sight. Get out of bed and get dressed. Don't loiter and linger, waiting until the very last minute. Dress yourselves in Christ and be up and about. Every day. Every day. Every day. What do I do on the bad days? I get through it. I survive and stay on focus every single day. Father, I pray today for people in this house.